Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I am excited because today is Carrie Beth's first track meet ever.
Oh, nice. Ever.
Yeah, and apparently she made varsity already as a freshman. So,
dude, that's fantastic. I didn't know that.
Varsity 400 meters. So, I just found out like yesterday. I think she just found out yesterday. She was like, "I'm running varsity."
We'll go KB. Woo woo. So, listeners, Brad and I, we would like to hear your feedback as to whether or not you you enjoyed the dramatic reading of It's Raining Tacos. I can certainly tell you that Brad and I had a blast, which is why we're actually going to do another one. We're going to start out today's show with another one. Last week's ep was the song was submitted by Timothy Michael. Thank you. Shout out to Timothy, and thank you for your submission. Brad, yet again, I would like for you to choose. I've got a student who submitted I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys, a college friend, Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, or your wife, Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
I'm going to have to go with Shake It Off
Shake
by
It
Taylor
Off.
Swift.
All right, let me pull up the lyrics here. Taylor Swift.
Although you're eventually going to do Old MacDonald, or I think Tabby's just going to kill me.
All right. All right, so like last week, I'll go ahead and cue that music. I stay out too late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say. I go on too many dates, but I can't make them stay.
About that?
At least that's what people say. That's what people say. But I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind saying it's gonna be all right.
That's the Holy Spirit.
It's my spiritual Jiminy Cricket. Because the player's gonna play.
That is not the Holy Spirit.
And the hater's gonna hate. Baby, I'm just gonna shake. I shake it off.
I want to shake.
I shake it off. Woo.
I think that last part just sold it.
Yeah.
Heartbreaker's gonna break, 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 break. And those fakers gonna fake, 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 fake. Baby, I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake. I shake it off.
I shake. Maybe a blizzard. Dairy Queen.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I never miss a beat. I'm lightning on my feet. And that's what they don't see.
Unless they tune in on YouTube.
That's what they don't see. Mm. I'm dancing on my own. Dancing on my own. And I make the moves up as I go. Moves up as I go.
This is shit.
And that's what they don't know.
I tell them right now.
That's what they don't know. Mm. But I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop grooving. It's like I got this music in my mind.
Probably good.
Saying,
say for a living.
Saying it's going to be all right. Because the players, they're going to play, 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 play.
Heard that.
And the haters, I'm going to hate, 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 hate. Baby.
Shouldn't hate babies.
I'm just going to shake. Shake, 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 shake. I shake it off.
Don't shake babies.
I shake it off. Woo hoo hoo. Heartbreaker's gonna break, 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 break. And the fakers gonna fake, 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 fake. Baby, I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake. Shake. I shake it off. I shake it off. Woo hoo hoo. Shake it off. I 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 shake it off. Curious. I shake it off.
I'm just curious. Do you know who shakes it off?
Woo hoo hoo. Hey. Hey.
Yeah?
Hey. Just think, while you've been getting down and out about those liars and the dirty, dirty cheats of the world, you could have been getting down to this sick beat. My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my God! But I'm just gonna shake.
I want to get that checked out.
And to the fella right there.
That's me.
With the hella good hair. Won't you come on over, baby?
Maybe later.
We can shake, shake, shake. Yeah. Yeah, oh. 'Cause the players gonna play, 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 play. And the haters gonna hate, hate. Hate, hate, hate. Haters gonna hate. Baby, I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake. I shake it off. I shake it off. Woo hoo hoo. And heartbreaker's gonna break, 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 break. And faker's gonna fake, 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 and fake, and fake, and fake. Baby, I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake. I shake it off. I shake it off. Woo hoo hoo. Shake it off. I shake it off. I shake it off. I shake it off. I shake it off.
Just a little longer.
Shake it off. I shake it off.
You know, you keep saying you shake it off, but I haven't seen you shake at all.
Yeah. I shake it off. Woo hoo hoo. Shake it off. I shake it off. I shake it off. I shake it off. You got to. I shake it off.
You know, sometimes Tabby tells me to land the plane.
I shake it off. I want to land the plane, Brad. I want to land the plane. I shake it off. I shake it off. There, I'm done.
Is this song a 6-hour dissertation?
Like, what the heck?
Every time I thought it was going to be over.
I know.
Like, nope, he's going to shake it off some more.
Goodness. And people make money. And people make money with that.
The wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Like, I'm submitting that. It's already dramatically sung, so, but
oh,
8 hours
man.
Long.
Shout out to my old college friend and actually college roommate, Marcus Cressman. Marcus, thank you very much. Shake
Marcus,
it off.
Hope you enjoyed.
Hope you enjoy.
If you didn't, just shake it off.
Just shake it off. That's right. If there's anything that you gleaned from that, it's okay. Just shake it off. Just keep shaking.
Or tune in next time to our special Let It Go. Just stop.
We're about new beginnings here on the podcast. Nice, Brad. That's funny. Okay, so Brad, our topic. I just wanted to have a pretty simple conversation, really, because it's been on my mind at least this morning on the drive in. Listened to another podcast that Union puts out, and I don't quite remember what it was that was said that made me think about it, but I got to thinking about you know, just kind of the difference between, or at least the mindsets of jobs and someone who's employed in ministry. And the reason I say it that way is because, you know, here recently, you know, you defended your position on, you don't consider yourself an employee of the church and you don't like for people to view the pastorate role as such. So from that perspective, Brad, if you would, how do you differentiate between like a profession and someone who is in full-time ministry?
That's difficult. And again, just to kind of reiterate, because when we just say it without all the background, it sounds like I'm just being kind of like bougie or something. Like, oh, no, I'm not an employee of the church. Like, my whole reasoning behind that is again, when you look at the biblical view of a pastor as a calling, and it's someone who's called to lead, versus the way people typically look at employees, like, oh, like you work for me. And that becomes problematic as a pastor when the church or the congregation is going, oh, no, you work for us. And again, the reminder is, no, I work for Jesus to serve you and to teach you and to lead you. So I think it's like I'm still an employee. It's just who's my boss, I guess, is the different thing. And that's why I wanted to differentiate, because it's different if, okay, hey, God sent me here, versus you hired me. And even though you hiring me in one sense is part of the process, really it's you agreeing that God has sent me here to be the pastor to lead. So I'm not trying to emphasize a pastor over everybody else, because I think sometimes that's what we do or people do, and that's not the point. The point is like, as the pastor, there needs to be accountability to the church body, but it's not like an employer type of situation. Like that's with Jesus. So I think that's the big difference. I mean, like, you work ultimately for Jesus as a believer, right?
And that's and that's I think that's the point that I really kind of want to chase and unpack today, but keep going.
Well, and again, you can, like, I would say that my wife is called to teach, right? I think she is fulfilling her calling by God, when she is teaching kindergarten, when she is, I think that's what God made her for, is to teach the littles. And I think she does an amazing job at it. But she's also hired by the school system. And so she has to answer to them. And it's different, right? It's different than like it is and it isn't. Really, at the heart of the matter, the biggest thing for me is not the way we define it, but the way that it comes out in practice.
So I kind of had an epiphany, which is why you saw me writing down while you were talking. I say I had an epiphany. I think I had an epiphany, but I let's call it a hunch or a thought. So the business world, or when I say the business world, maybe I shouldn't say it that way. Maybe like I'll put it this way, in secular arenas, when we consider, like, economically, the consumer model of whatever, I had the epiphany that the model works very well. And I mean, we can trace this idea all the way back to Henry Ford, right? And with his invention of the assembly line. But the model works.
He shook things up a little bit.
I did. You could just shake it off, Brad. Just shake it off. Did you not learn that lesson? But I think the business world, or the secular world, the economic world, that model works because it is built on the assumption, actually not an assumption, it's built on the premise that the individual can very easily be replaced. So, Brad, if you and I are on an assembly line and I decide that I want to do something else, the assembly line, like the premise of that particular line, is set up to where anybody, at least with an appropriate amount of training, can fill my shoes regardless of what I bring to the table. And I'm curious to, number one, what your thought is about that, but I'm also curious to know if from your experience in full-time ministry and going actually from the professional world in the sense of right the consumer model, the economic way that it's that th those professions operate and are built into full-time ministry, do you see or have you experienced people who view the ministry as actually a separate category of whether you want to call it employment or profession, and therefore almost relegate the word ministry to you and not them?
I see what you're saying.
So let's start.
Yeah,
I know there's two questions in there. So let's start with, I know, like when you made the transition out of again the economic model into full-time ministry, did you experience anything relating to the thought that I had that the business model is built on the premise that the individual can be replaced?
Well, I think in both cases where, when I went to be a youth pastor and when I came to be a senior pastor, there was a gap of like, I think 2 years, I think in both cases, but between when the last person filled that role, like, I mean, there was like, as a senior pastor, I came, there was an interim. But I mean, there was a 2 year
Sure.
gap between the former senior pastor, just an interim, and then me.
Yeah.
And then I think it was just kind of that with the youth pastorate, it was vacant. I think people were just volunteering and helping. And I want to think it was about 2 years too. So I think that's part of where it was different. Most position, you don't have a Walgreens manager position not filled for 2 years.
Right.
And I think that's part of, I think people see that. I think they do, at least when we are, dare I say, doing things correctly. Like we want to make sure that it's not just the right person for the job, but it's the person that God has called to do this. And maybe some people have some, even some of our Christian brothers and sisters have some differing opinions on this. I mean, God does say in the Bible, if you desire the office of a bishop, you desire a good thing. Right? So someone says, hey, I want to be a pastor. It's not a bad thing. The Bible says it's a good thing if you have that desire. But usually when I'm talking with people, and maybe I'm getting off track here,
No, go ahead.
If a man, old man, young man, whatever, comes to me and they go, I want to be a pastor, and that's the way they phrase it, I usually, well, they just say, hey, I'd like to be a pastor. I was thinking about being a pastor, something like that. This is the advice I usually give them. Okay. If God is not calling you to this run, if he's not calling you to this run, like if you just think, oh, this sounds cool, or hey, this is nice, or hey, I like some of this stuff, that's my personal advice. That's not biblical advice. Run.
So as I mentioned, listeners, a couple shows ago, if you completely and utterly disagree with Brad, you've got a couple choices. Number one, you can ignore it. Number two, you can press fast forward. Number three, you can press the square. You don't have, it's just
Well, you
Brad's.
can even let me know, like, hey,
Yeah, let us know too. That's exactly
like
like.
maybe I am looking at this all wrong. I've had people challenge my views before, and I've gone, you're right. I was looking at that wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then I followed up with, but if God is calling you
Yeah.
to this role, then the most foolish thing you can do is run.
Right. Sure.
Because
Didn't work for
he will
Jonah.
chase you down.
And you
I don't
might
even
very
know
well
this.
get swallowed up by your own metaphorical big
Yeah,
fish.
I don't even know this guy's name. I was a young man in church. I could have been 10 years old. There was this singing group, I think from Virginia or West Virginia, that came and sang at our church. And I just remember, I don't, it could even been before or after, because you know, we were usually, my dad was a deacon, so we were like one of the first people to be there, one of the last people to leave. And this guy was just talking about how he had accepted the call to preach, but he wrestled with God over it for 20 years. And it was the most miserable 20 years of his life.
Like
So,
20 years, dude.
yeah,
Dang.
I know. And I'm going to tell you, it was a
Whew.
God thing that I heard that, I took it to heart. I had no idea at the time that God was going to call me to preach. But that stuck out in my memory. And when God did call me into ministry, I wrestled with him for 3 days. And then I just remember, again, kind of having that conversation, like, you're not going to let me. Like, I don't want to run for you for 20 years and be miserable. And so this. So I look at it as a calling. When people are like, oh, what brought you to Missouri? Well, what brought you to First Baptist Murphy? Like, one of the first things, I'm like, Jesus? Like, I didn't just go, oh, I love St. Louis area. I love Missouri. I want to go there. You know, it was something that, you know, we prayed about. We looked at churches that were in need. We felt like God was calling us to the area for me to be a senior pastor. So we looked at, you know, as Southern Baptist churches who were looking for, right, that role. We prayed about it, you know, and we did send out, you know, again, we sent out resumes.
I mean, and to that effect, if I can interject, to that effect, that is the way that the professional world works. And I obviously, to our listeners, yes, I know that that's not new information, but you know, Brad, you've said before, you know, like you just can't sit on the couch and say, okay, God, well, do your thing. Yeah, I mean you do have to get up and put your own effort into it. So go ahead,
Well,
sorry.
and follow his lead. You know, there's the scripture that says, when you step out the door, whether you walk to the right or the left, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I had a friend, I guess, back in high school who said, believer, she said, you know, it's easier for God to turn a car that's moving. It's hard to turn a parked car. You know, and again, I was like, oh, you know, that's, you're right. Can turn the wheels, but it's still parked. And so I think there's validity to that. And again, like, there's an age-old debate, like, well, maybe not age-old, but definitely in our culture, in our time, is the church a business? Isn't it a business? I think part of the answer to that is interesting, like, as far as my role, because even the government looks at me like in a dual way when it comes to taxes. And I don't want to open that can of worms, I guess.
Yeah, don't
But
worry. I'm not going to chase it.
on one hand, I'm an employee of the church. And on the other hand, they look at me as an independent contractor of the church. And so which makes my taxes confusing, which is
I have
why I
no doubt.
pay a person who's smarter than me with taxes and clergy taxes to make sure I don't mess all that up.
And actually, I so not to chase that topic, Brad, but I think that, again, looking at the way that our society is set up, right? It's organized economically. I think that would be another area where it could just get really blurred as to what is the real difference between a profession and a minister. 'Cause I mean, I would be really curious to know. No, I wouldn't. And the more I mean, just right there in that second, the more that I thought about it, I mean, Paul identified him as a bondservant of Jesus Christ in nearly every letter that he wrote. And so he was identifying what his identity was, who he was in Christ. And then after he would say bondservant, he would explain what his purpose was to those churches that he would write letters to. And so his job, I would say that if we were to use, 21st century like profession categories for where would Paul fit, I would say that Paul was either just a straight ahead missionary or a church planter. But I don't know. I don't think that he would have wanted to put himself in a type of box.
Paul would probably be like, "Look, I do what God tells me to do. And when I argue with him, I end up doing it his way." I mean, Paul says in the scripture that that he wanted to go like over here to Asia, like
I
multiple
desire to come to
times.
you. Yeah.
Yeah. And God was like, "Nope, or at least not right now."
Right.
And then he gets the Macedonian call where God like gives him this dream, this vision of man from Macedonia, calling out. And so he knows that God is sending him to Macedonia.
Right.
And so that's where he goes. But again, it's God is leading. Now, I'm going to jump over here, though, and go, here's where your job and your profession and stuff, man, can be just like that in one sense, right? With Tabby, I've said, I think she's called to teach. Her first year of teaching, it was rough. There was some stuff. I would blame administration, but I'm not gonna name names or point anything. But she got hurt. She had a hard time getting another job in the area. She kind of for a little while was like, you know what? I'm just not gonna teach. I'm not supposed to teach. And she went into just, well, she got the job that she could do and make some money is through. It's just miserable because that is what I believe that God has made her to teach young people.
So Brad, here's my stance, and here's kind of why I know that it's probably to a fault that I do this, but I really like to give definitions, like concrete definitions, not keep things in the abstract.
Sand, water mixed together with just is it lime? I'm sorry. Oh,
No,
you meant
it's glue. It's just glue.
you said concrete definition, and I was trying to define concrete.
So my stance is this. Unless, and I use this, I'm using this very loosely,
Or sound like the
unless
Lorax, unless.
unless, and just leave it there. I'm not Danny DeVito. Unless we are waiting for God's call on our lives, which I think is a very real reality, very, very real thing to be in. I think that everybody should view their job not as a job, but their like what God has called them to do. That goes not beyond, but that's right in line with what is it, Matthew 28, 28, 19, 26, 19, which the Great Commission.
I was like, yeah, I don't have the whole thing memorized. You didn't
It's
prep
but
me.
I'm just is it
Yeah.
28?
Yeah.
28, yeah.
Matthew 28, yeah.
Yeah. So
As you were
obviously, like,
going.
right, but I think that from my perspective and the way that I have experienced life in the professional world, the way that I have being raised by a pastor, or being raised in a pastor's home, seeing and hearing about how like our economy works and flows, and just all of that put together, I've really experienced so much of the evidence that people who have jobs do not see them as ministries. I'm not saying that across the board. As a matter of fact, I think the people who are most effective in their jobs that are Christians anyways, the people that are most effective in their jobs are the ones who treat their jobs as ministries. Now, when I say ministries, and this I think is where the gray area begins to come in, which is why I wanted to talk about it today. If I don't see what I'm doing, and I know that I teach at a Christian institution, but if I taught at a secular institution, I would try hard to view my role in the same way. But the way I view what I do is not just being someone who teaches music education, but someone who ministers the gospel, maybe not directly, but I still try to minister and make disciples as I go.
I think I would look at it this way, right? In one sense, your job is what you do, and your ministry is who you are. So in the sense that, like, you may be a janitor, you may be a McDonald's burger flipper, you may be a Walgreens manager, you may be a truck driver. Right. And those are things that you do. And maybe that is where God has called you, which would make that then your calling. But you're doing like you're living a life of ministry as a disciple of Christ, as a bond servant of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Christ. So it doesn't matter. I mean, yes, it matters in the sense of, okay, if God's called you to do this, then do it, no matter what it is. But God's going to use you where you are to fulfill the Great Commission if you belong to Him, right? To, as you are going, proclaim the gospel, preach the gospel, and make disciples of all men. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all of the things that I've commanded you. And hey, I'm with you always. Sign Jesus. So I think I saw that with my dad. All right. Was my dad's calling in life to, like, last job that he had was a middle school janitor? Was my dad's calling in life to be a middle school janitor? I don't know. Like, on some level, you could argue one way or another. But what my dad did was he lived out his life in Christ in everything that he did, right? He taught me, and he believed, whatever your hands find to do, do it with, all your heart, because you're doing it for the Lord, not men.
So, if I can
Man, he was
interject.
one of the best dang janitors ever. And seriously, 100%, they had two sides, two wings of the school, right? And generally had a janitor for each wing. People on the other side would like fervently be like, no, we need Doug to clean our room. Like we like you're almost arguing to the principal, like, no, I need you to get Doug on. Because my dad, working second shift by himself most of the time, cleaning rooms. But he did it as if he was doing it for Jesus.
So to that point, and actually, I know that today's going to be a shorter episode, and I would love to keep unpacking this, but I've got to go teach here in just a few minutes. But Brad, I'm wondering, not wondering. I'm just
Wonder.
I
Could you shake it off?
could shake it off. I'm just wondering how many people flip the switch off of thinking I'm going to do the work of Christ because I'm going to work. I don't do the work of Christ at work, I work. I turn the ministry switch off just because I'm at work. And
Don't do that.
no, yeah, right, don't do it. So there you go, listeners. But no, like, I'm wondering how many people approach their jobs or professions as hands off, if you will, hands off of this isn't where Christ, this isn't where I'm going to deal with things of the Christian nature. When I leave work, then I can get back into that if I want. You, dude, you're dying to say something. Go ahead.
I am. What if we as believers understood that when Jesus said, as you're going, or he says, go throughout, but
Right.
really you can translate as you're going, right? So as you're living your life, whatever you're doing ministry. What if we looked at it like that? So that when I'm going through McDonald's and I'm running late and I'm just ordering a coffee, it's ministry. That doesn't mean I'm going like, hey, as the drive-through has like 40 people behind me, hey, can I talk to you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now here in this
Right.
drive-through?
I'm currently late for a meeting and I might lose my job, but
It
no,
doesn't
no,
even
no,
mean it
no.
doesn't even mean, and I'm not against like giving out tracts and test New Testaments and stuff like that. I've did it and I've done it. Probably will do it again. But like it's not even mean that. What if we just looked at everything like, look, I am here as a representative of Jesus Christ. So that doesn't mean that I've got to be like, by the way, I just want you to know I'm a Christian. But it means like when they hand you the coffee and they go, oh, sorry about the wait. Do you go, ah.
Right.
But you reflect Jesus Christ. You're like, hey man,
Don't worry about it.
have a great
Yeah,
day.
you're
No
good.
problem. I got my coffee. That's what I came for.
That's right.
I'm gonna get out of your way. But if you're like me, you're going to those same places over time. I would tell you there's a lady that works at McDonald's that loves my wife. I mean, I don't see how anybody could not love my wife. But I mean, like when I go through the drive-through with Tabby, and this woman is taking the order, like or taking the cards at the window, like she lights up when she sees my wife. Now, I would argue that's because my wife reflects Jesus Christ. She loves people. She has
Yeah,
that
she
love
does.
of Christ, and it just comes over. Has my wife had an in-depth conversation with this woman? I probably not.
Right.
What if we look at that? No matter what I'm doing, if I'm digging a hole, if I'm ordering lunch, if I'm driving down the road,
Right.
I'm doing it as a representative of Christ. It changes things. It changes the way I react to things. It changes the way I react to people. It changes the way I forgive and don't hold things against people, because I am a fool too who has pulled out in front of people.
Right. Yep.
And we just, I think when we look at that, even not just with our career, but like definitely don't turn off your Christian walk when you go to work. I would argue sometimes that's where you need it most. But don't turn it off when you go to Walmart.
So, Brad, I really do have to run. I want to. I want to. I think that let's do this. Listeners, this is part one. Our next show will be the continuation of this conversation, because I think it's a very valid topic to really try to unpack, because I think that in its most simplest idea, it's the conversation that really, almost we should be thinking about every single time that we're sitting in a church service, right? Every single time that we're in Sunday school, or if we're around, I'm going to say churchy people, are we thinking, oh, okay, so I need to turn on the Jesus now. I need to like this is I think that this is the conversation
Switch.
that we can that we can
Flip the Jesus
Flip the
switch.
Jesus on, but I think that this is worthy of having. But I do have to run and go teach. So to that point, listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We hope that you enjoyed the dramatic reading, as long and overly repetitive as it was, of Shake It Off. Thank you, Marcus. Again, shout out to Marcus Cressman. Miss you, dude. Hope that you enjoy the show. Thank you for hanging out with us. Support Green Frog if you're in the West Tennessee area. Support Green Frog Coffee. Wonderful supporters of ours.
They have no frogs in them.
They have
No
no
frogs in
frogs,
their
and we
coffee.
support
It's a
them.
misnomer.
great Christian establishment,
delicious coffee.
Good coffee, good food.
Even frogs would drink it.
In the summer times, frogs would drink it. In the winter times, snowmen would. But yeah, follow us on our Facebook group page. Rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Let us know that you like our show. But beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too.
Listeners, we will catch you next time.
Go be his church.